Yes, friends, it's time for Let's Talk Mental Health. This local program discusses behavioral issues of concern to the North Shore community and resources to help. Let's Talk Mental Health is produced at the studios of KTWHLP in Two Harbors, Minnesota. Well, good day and welcome to the January edition of Let's Talk Mental Health. We are continuing a series we started last month on social media and mental health issues. We started last month with part one, and that was social media, mental health, and society. Our guest speaker at the time was Paul Becker, and Paul is with the MAP Behavioral Health Center in Duluth. We had the privilege of interviewing him from Germany, and if you may recall, we covered the topic of social media in an overview as to what it is, what are the different platforms, the economic impact, and how does society currently use social media in a positive and sometimes in a negative context? We also discuss social media and mental health and what the connection is between the two and what mental health conditions have been affected and are continuing to be affected by social media. We also looked at what were the different indicators of reliance on social media. And then we went and came full circle as to what social media is today in relation to COVID-19, its usage, and some professional observations that Paul gave us about dealing with individuals who exhibit excessive reliance on social media. This month, we're going to look a little bit closer to home. We're going to be looking at social media in the context of mental health issues and community. And again, this program is segment number 2 out of 3. Next month, we will be highlighting social media and mental health issues with emphasis on the individual. I thought this month we would do something a little bit different we haven't done since we've come on air approximately 14 months ago. We would be looking at the viewpoints of professional studies. And for that, I have pulled up 2 articles I'd like to share with you today on social media and mental health issues. The first is going to be a lead-in article. This comes from the Journal of American Medical Association Psychiatry Magazine, January 2021, Volume 78, Number 1. And the article is titled, The Coronavirus Disease 2019, COVID-19, Outbreak and Mental Health, Current Risk and Recommended Actions. The authors are Dr. Doran Amsalem, a medical doctor with the New York State Psychiatric Institute, Columbia University, Irving Medical Center, New York, Dr. Lisa Dixon, also a medical doctor, New York State Psychiatric Institute, Columbia University, Irving Medical Center, New York, and Department of Psychiatry at Columbia University, Irving Medical Center, New York, and finally, Dr. Yuval Neria, a PhD at New York State Psychiatric Institute, Columbia University, Irving Medical Center, New York, and Department of Psychiatry, Columbia University, Irving Medical Center in New York. It should be noted that this article is an opinion article that the 3 doctors collaborated on and that they're offering this as their viewpoint. The article is as follows. The coronavirus disease 2019, COVID-19, outbreak has rapidly spread, originating in Wuhan Province, China, in late 2019 and making its way around the world in a matter of months. The outbreak is overwhelming intensive care units and healthcare capacity. According to the World Health Organization, as of May 20, 2020, there are 4,761,559 confirmed cases of COVID-19 and 317,529 COVID-related deaths across 216 countries, areas, and territories. To cope with the rapid spread of the outbreak, governments have implemented swift, wide-ranging public health emergency measures that include social restrictions and quarantines. Among these are daily updates to travel bans and restrictions nationally and internationally, stay-at-home orders for non-essential workers, and the shutdown of all non-essential businesses. These steps to mitigate the spread of the virus influence the lives of billions across the globe. Since the start of the outbreak, there have been widespread stigma and rejection of individuals living in or coming from affected communities, individuals with underlying illnesses, the elderly population, and first responders. While the physical risk, examples being pneumonia, respiratory breakdowns, is getting the most scientific and clinical attention, emerging data suggests that this outbreak presents substantial risk for widespread mental health problems and psychological fear-related responses. Psychological responses to previous large-scale outbreaks, particularly to the Ebola virus disease, EVD, epidemic from 2014 to 2016, provide insight into the potential impact of rapidly spreading diseases on mental health problems. During the EVD outbreak, fear-related behaviors such as stigmatizing infected survivors and ignoring medical procedures impeded public health efforts and negatively affected recovery of survivors. Anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder, and depression were found in nearly half of the EVD survivors and their contacts. The COVID-19 outbreak presents a similar set of high-risk behaviors. Ignoring recommendations for social distancing, such as young people on spring break or church attendance, and continuing to travel despite restrictions such as fleeing high-impact communities. These risky behaviors accelerate the spread of the disease and make it more difficult to isolate confirmed cases. On the other hand, fear-related behaviors such as extreme avoidance of social contact will likely result in increased risk of mental health problems. Together, these behaviors may shape the trajectory of the outbreak in the short term and long term. Psychoeducation and redirection of fear-related behavior responses during the outbreak can reduce risk and promote resilience. The unprecedented nature and scale of the COVID-19 outbreak, coupled with an acute lack of medical capacities, such as shortages in basic protective equipment and ventilators, have invoked stark public concerns. The increasing number of confirmed cases and deaths have escalated public fear about becoming infected, presenting a novel kind of psychological trauma. The reality of the outbreak and the fear and anxiety that it brings is magnified by myths and fake news, that being misinformation, driven by erroneous news reports and community panic on social media. To date, billions of people are being asked to stay at home, which will likely lead to increased exposure to both digital and social media that might be at times unreliable and unverified. This widespread use of social media and the extensive array of information can exacerbate confusion and worries and in turn increase fear and anxiety and the creation of more fear-driven web and media content. Moreover, indirect exposure to constant news and social media may have a wide range of psychopathological consequences, of which stress-related disorders are the most common. Post-traumatic stress disorder symptoms, including nightmares, hyperarousal, sleep difficulties, detachment, and numbing, are particularly disabling and need clinical attention. A 2020 study conducted in China examined the prevalence of mental health problems 1 month into the COVID-19 epidemic and found high rates of depression, 48.3%, anxiety, 22.6%, and a combination of depression and anxiety at 19.4% among over 4,800 adults. Importantly, people with high social media exposure were almost twice as likely to have depression and anxiety than people with less social media exposure. Social isolation and increased consumption of social media will likely lead to a significant global elevation of mental health problems. Another topic was using the internet to ameliorate risk and as a platform for intervention. An effective and timely response is essential to address the immediate, midterm, and long-term psychosocial needs of large populations exposed to the rapidly spreading outbreak, mass trauma, and death. First, in the immediate phase, social media can be used to enhance social support and connectedness. Encouraging frequent contact with relatives, friends, and caregivers via telephone, video-based chats, and social media can enhance social support and, in turn, facilitate resilience. Second, in times of quarantine and social isolation, ongoing mental health ambulatory treatment should not be stopped as online secured platforms such as telemedicine are widely available for use. Considering the expected increase in mental health use, the general public must be advised to seek care in alternative ways. Online platforms can be used to evaluate and diagnose patients, personalize treatments, and monitor their progress. Strategies to provide access to computers and internet across socioeconomic strata are essential. Third, to mitigate anxiety-provoking dissemination of information, large social media platforms such as Facebook, Twitter, Google, WhatsApp app, YouTube should direct users to credible websites such as the World Health Organization and the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Fourth, limiting media exposure time is advisable. Graphic imagery and worrisome messages increase stress and anxiety, elevating the risk of long-term, lingering fear-related disorders. Although staying informed is essential, one should minimize exposure to media outlets. In the midterm, there should be a focus on the development and dissemination of innovative, brief, online, contact-based interventions to encourage healthy lifestyles. These would be physical exercise, balanced diet, and anxiolytic-like activities such as mediation and mindfulness. Previous studies have shown that social contact-based interventions are effective in changing human perceptions and behaviors. Using empowered presenters with lived experiences such as, "I've tested positive for COVID," from those who attained their goals, create a sense of identification for anxious viewers and in turn improve functioning and facilitate resilience, such as, "I was able to overcome my anxiety via healthy behaviors." Lastly, the large-scale exposure to the outbreak, massive loss of lives, and the financial difficulties may greatly intensify the need for mental health care across exposed communities and among high-risk groups, those being first responders, medical staff, elderly individuals, and the bereaved in the long term. Longitudinal data will be needed to track prevalence of mental health problems, the associated needs for treatment, and how online, cost-effective platforms can be used to address them. In summary, mass quarantine and social isolation lead to increased use of social media and other informed-based websites, which in turn increases fear, stress, and the risk of fear-related disorders. In times of rapidly spreading infectious diseases and mass exposure to trauma, online platforms can be used to guide effective consumption of information, facilitate social support, continue mental health care delivery, and develop and test innovative, personalized, contact-based interventions that, if found effective, can be disseminated to addressing emerging mental health needs. Again, that article was titled "The Coronavirus Disease 2019, COVID-19 Outbreak, and Mental Health, Current Risk and Recommended Actions," and that was from the January 2021 Journal of American Medical Association Psychiatry Magazine, Volume 78, Number 1. As I stated at the beginning of this segment, this month we want to focus on social media and mental health issues from the community perspective, and we're going to define community this month as being those who do have mental health issues. After all, that's what this program is about. The next article is from the Journal of Technology and Behavioral Science, and it was published online 20 April 2020, and the title is "Social Media and Mental Health: Benefits, Risk, and Opportunities for Research and Practice." And the four authors of this article are John Naslund, who is with the Department of Global Health and Social Medicine at Harvard Medical School in Boston, Massachusetts; Ameya Bandra, who is with Digital Mental Health Research as a consultant in Mumbai, India; John Torres, who is with the Division of Digital Psychiatry at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, Harvard Medical School in Boston; and Kelly Askbrenner, who is with the Department of Psychiatry at the Giesel School of Medicine in Dartmouth, Lebanon, New Hampshire. The article begins, "Social media has become a prominent fixture in the lives of many individuals facing the challenges of mental illness. Social media refers broadly to web and mobile platforms that allow individuals to connect with others within a virtual network, such as Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, or LinkedIn, where they can share, co-create, or exchange various forms of digital content, including information, messages, photos, or videos. Studies have reported that individuals living with a range of mental disorders, including depression, psychotic disorders, or other severe mental illnesses, use social media platforms at comparable rates as the general population, with use ranging from about 70% among middle-aged and older individuals to upwards of 97% among younger individuals. Other exploratory studies have found that many of these individuals with mental illness appear to turn to social media to share their personal experiences, seek information about their mental health and treatment options, and give and receive support from others facing similar mental health challenges. Across the USA and globally, very few people living with mental illness have access to adequate mental health services. The wide reach and near ubiquitous use of social media platforms may afford novel opportunities to address these shortfalls in existing mental health care by enhancing the quality, availability, and reach of services. Recent studies have explored patterns of social media use, impact of social media use on mental health and well-being, and the potential to leverage the popularity and interactive features of social media to enhance the delivery of interventions. However, there remains uncertainty regarding the risk and potential harms of social media for mental health and how best to weigh these concerns against potential benefits. In 2020, there were an estimated 3.8 billion social media users worldwide, representing half the global population. Recent studies have shown that individuals with mental disorders are increasingly gaining access to and using mobile devices such as smartphones. Similarly, there is mounting evidence showing high rates of social media use among individuals with mental disorders, including studies looking at engagement with these popular platforms across diverse settings and disorder types. Initial studies from 2015 found that nearly half of a sample of psychiatric patients were social media users, with greater use among younger individuals, while 47% of inpatients and outpatients with schizophrenia reported using social media, of which 79% reported at least once a week usage of social media sites. Rates of social media use among psychiatric patients have increased in recent years, as reflected in a study with data from 2017 showing comparable rates of social media use among individuals with serious mental illness in treatment as compared with low-income groups from the general population. Similarly, among individuals with serious mental illness receiving community-based mental health services, a recent study found equivalent rates of social media use as a general population, even exceeding 70% of participants. Comparable findings were demonstrated among middle-aged and older individuals with mental illness accessing services at peer support agencies, where 72% of respondents reported using social media. Similar results, with 68% of those with first episode psychosis using social media daily, were reported in another study. Individuals who self-identified as having a schizophrenia spectrum disorder responded to a survey shared through the National Alliance of Mental Illness, NAMI, and reported that visiting social media sites was one of their most common activities when using digital devices, taking up roughly 2 hours each day. For adolescents and young adults ages 12 to 21 with psychotic disorders and mood disorders, over 97% reported using social media, with average use exceeding 2.5 hours per day. Similarly, in a sample of adolescents ages 13 to 18 recruited from community mental health centers, 98% reported using social media, with YouTube as the most popular platform, followed by Instagram and Snapchat. Research has also explored the motivations for using social media, as well as the perceived benefits of interacting on these platforms among individuals with mental illness. Social media platforms offer near-continuous opportunities to connect and interact with others, regardless of the time of day or geographic location. This on-demand ease of communication may be especially important for facilitating social interaction among individuals with mental disorders experiencing difficulties interacting in face-to-face settings. For example, impaired social functioning is a common deficit in schizophrenia spectrum disorders. and social media may facilitate communication and interacting with others for these individuals. This was suggested in one study where participants with schizophrenia indicated that social media helped them to interact and socialize more easily. Like other online communication, the ability to communicate with others anonymously may be an important feature of social media, especially for individuals living with highly stigmatizing health conditions such as serious mental disorders. Studies have found that individuals with serious mental disorders, as well as young adults with mental illness, appear to form online relationships and connect with others on social media as often as social media users from the general population. This is an important observation because individuals living with serious mental disorders typically have few social contacts in the offline world and also experience high rates of loneliness. Among individuals receiving publicly funded mental health services who use social media, nearly half reported using these platforms at least weekly to feel less alone. In another study of young adults with serious mental illnesses, most indicated that they use social media to help feel less isolated. Interestingly, more frequent use of social media among a sample of individuals with serious mental illness was associated with greater community participation, measured as participation in shopping, work, religious activities, or visiting friends and family, as well as greater civic engagement, reflected as in voting in local elections. Emerging research also shows that young people with moderate to severe depressive symptoms appear to prefer communicating on social media rather than in person, while other studies have found that some individuals may prefer to seek help for mental health concerns online rather than through in-person encounters. In a qualitative study, participants with schizophrenia describe greater anonymity, the ability to discover that other people have experienced similar health challenges, and reducing fears through greater access to information as important motivations for using the internet to seek mental health information. Because social media does not require the immediate responses necessary in face-to-face communication, it may overcome deficits with some social interaction due to psychotic symptoms that typically adversely affect face-to-face conversations. Online social interactions may not require the use of nonverbal cues, particularly in the initial stages of interaction, with interactions being more fluid and within the control of users, thereby overcoming possible social anxieties linked to in-person interaction. Furthermore, many individuals with serious mental disorders can experience symptoms including passive social withdrawal, blunted affect, and attentional impairment, as well as active social avoidance due to hallucinations or other concerns, thus potentially reinforcing the relative advantage, as perceived by others, of using social media over in-person conversations. The article does go on to say that there are challenges with social media for mental health. The science on the role of social media for engaging persons with mental disorders needs a cautionary note on the effects of social media usage on mental health and well-being, particularly in adolescents and young adults. While the risks and harms of social media are frequently covered in popular press and mainstream news reports, careful consideration of the research in this area is necessary. In a review of 43 studies in young people, many benefits of social media were cited, including increased self-esteem and opportunities for self-disclosure. Yet, reported negative effects were an increased exposure to harm, social isolation, depressive symptoms, and bullying. Three areas of concern that were highlighted specifically were impact on symptoms, facing hostile interactions, and consequences on daily life. Regarding the impact on symptoms, studies consistently highlight that use of social media, especially heavy use and prolonged time spent on social media platforms, appears to contribute to increased risk for a variety of mental health symptoms and poor well-being, especially among young people. This may partly be driven by the detrimental effects of screen time on mental health, including increased severity of anxiety and depressive symptoms, which have been well documented. Recent studies have reported negative effects of social media use on mental health of young people, including social comparison pressure with others and greater feeling of social isolation after being rejected by others on social media. In a study of young adults, it was found that negative comparison with others on Facebook contributed to risk of rumination and subsequent increases in depression symptoms. Still, the cross-sectional nature of many screen time and mental health studies makes it challenging to reach causal interferences. Regarding facing hostile interactions, popular social media platforms can create potential situations where individuals may be victimized by negative comments or posts. Cyberbullying represents a form of online aggression directed towards specific individuals, such as peers or acquaintances, which is perceived to be most harmful when compared with random hostile comments posted online. Importantly, cyberbullying on social media consistently shows harmful impact on mental health in the form of increased depressive symptoms, as well as worsening of anxiety symptoms, as evidenced in a review of 36 studies among children and young people. Furthermore, cyberbullying disproportionately impacts females, as reflected in a national survey of adolescents in the USA, where females were twice as likely to be victims of cyberbullying compared to males. And finally, pertaining to consequences for daily life, the ways in which individuals use social media can also impact their offline relationships and everyday activities. To date, reports have described risk of social media use pertaining to privacy, confidentiality, and unintended consequences of disclosing personal health information online. Additionally, concerns have been raised about poor quality or misleading health information shared on social media, and that social media users may not be aware of misleading information or conflicts of interest, especially when the platforms promote popular content regardless of whether it is from a trustworthy source. For persons living with mental illness, there may be additional risk from using social media. A recent study that specifically explored the perspectives of social media users with serious mental illnesses, including participants with schizophrenia spectrum disorders, bipolar disorder, or major depression, found that over one-third of participants expressed concerns about privacy when using social media. The reported risk of social media use were directly related to many aspects of everyday life, including concerns about threats to employment, fear of stigma and being judged, impact on personal relationships, and facing hostility or being hurt. While few studies have specifically explored the dangers of social media use from the perspective of individuals living with mental illness, it is important to recognize that the use of these platforms may contribute to risks that extend beyond worsening symptoms and that can affect different aspects of daily life. These two articles highlight the potential benefits and also the concerns regarding social media and mental health issues. Today, we discussed about the community of those who actually have mental health illnesses and use social media. Next month, our topic will be the third in our segment, Social Media and Mental Health Issues, the Individual. We really appreciate your feedback. You can send emails directly to the station at ktwh.org, or the program also has its own email, and that is lcmhtf@gmail.com. Again, lcmhtf@gmail.com, and that stands for Lake County Mental Health Task Force, and that is the group under which this broadcast is being brought to you by. Additionally, there is the North Shore Mental Health Group in Silver Bay. They have a fantastic website. You need to check this out because they have daily encouragements, lots of resources available. And they also sponsor a peer support group called GLAD, and that's Group Living with Anxiety and Depression, and they are meeting online. For more information, again, go to that website. On the Lake County website, there is a Health and Human Services Support Guide, and in it you will see a listing for mental health resources, 9 pages of local resources with lots of websites, phone numbers, and information that you can use. In the county, we also have the Human Development Center, again accessible through Lake County website. And at our own Lakeview Hospital, they have mental health services being provided by a nurse practitioner. If you need it, look on their website. Until next time, for Let's Talk Mental Health, this is your host, Chris Belfield. Thanks for listening.